Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to talking about discussion of those Jacksonville Jaguars of the National Football League. We're right here live on a Monday afternoon on Ryer on YouTube. I'm Travis Ryer, joined by my co-host right there, Evan Ryer. And Evan, as of this very moment, shortly after 4 p.m. Eastern on Monday, we have not been clued in to the initial 53-man roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars ahead of the 2025 NFL season. But there has been a little bit of news as it relates to the quarterback and cornerback positions, I guess, when you talk about DeAndre Prince and also John Wolford. Jeremy Fowler reporting on Wolford, the Bishop Kenny product, being released. Apparently the same is true for DeAndre Prince. One of those draft picks from a year ago, boy, when you talk about that 2024 class, maybe that's where we should start, because there may not be a lot left of it after this cutdown.
Yeah. You know, it's aged pretty poorly. It happens, right? If you have like a really, if you have the kind of roster you need to win a lot of games, you will be cutting, you know, a lot of guys after a year, even before, you know, the end of that first offseason for them. But that's what's weird about this one, is that it's not that this roster is that, you know, special, you know what I mean? But there were just some clunkers, you know, we were talking before, the episode started, that, you know, DeAndre Prince just never really found it in Jacksonville. And, you know, it's not necessarily a surprise that he's not on this roster, but I kind of thought he had I thought that was probably going to be their sixth guy if they rocked with six corners.
Yeah. And Prince, when you just look at the guy and some of the plays he did make in Jacksonville, it spoke to the skill set and the ability of a legitimate NFL corner. My understanding with Prince was that even from the outset of his time with the Jaguars, he struggled to really transform into a professional. You know, the little things, the things on an everyday basis that you have to do to be a pro. And I'm not sure if that was a continuing theme for him, but I know it was initially. Yeah. And again, because when you just look at this guy on the field, you think that's a pro corner. So we'll see how that continues to shake out. Yeah, we'll get into corner. What we're going to do too is really look at this team for this initial 53-man, because Evan, I think we're both in agreement, this thing could change a good bit here. I mean, once you have, you know, a full scope of players that are moving on from other teams and strengths and weaknesses within your own team, that's an area where you could continue to address. Wide receiver wouldn't surprise me. What happens with the fifth, sixth type of spot, if there is a sixth spot? And even if an initial player makes that group that's been with the Jaguars in camp, could be that they still look elsewhere to try to help them there.
Yeah, I think, you know, something I said a little bit ago, too, was that I think that there's guys that are going to be on the 53-man roster come week one that are not on this team right now. Right. As in, I think that there are guys that are going to come in from the outside and get on this team, because really there's just some spots that they still definitely need help. And I wouldn't necessarily, if I was in, you know, their position, I wouldn't feel especially confident about some of those. Yeah. Like we said, like the fifth or sixth spot on that receiver group. It's like, don't be wrong, Austin Trammell has been solid. You know, it's fine, but is that, you know, can you upgrade that spot? For sure. You definitely can.
Is he the right kind of receiver too? Because you've got De'Ami Brown, you got Parker Washington, who are kind of slot types already. Right. Trammell has been really good, man. I mean, he's done exactly, sometimes you can do everything you need to do to make a team. and it still be the dreaded numbers situation. Yeah. I think that's his problem in terms of the kind of receivers they are looking to carry on this team. You know, De'Ami Brown's on this team. Obviously, Parker Washington, top four guys in that rotation. Trammell has been very good at what he does. He's also a depth provider in special teams and in the return game. But, you know, Parker Washington's going to be your primary guy. So, you know, that's where it probably catches up with Trammell. Maybe he still makes this thing because, you know, look, right now you're looking at De'Ami Brown, Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, obviously, Parker Washington. Maybe your fifth receiver, though, comes from somewhere else. Maybe it's a guy that, in terms of physical attributes, fits your rotation more than anything else.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too, is just that, you know, there's he's solid. There's a lot of good, in that player. However, you know, you kind of have that already. You kind of have what mm-hmm. he offers at other spots mm-hmm. and, you know, guys that do it, you know, just even marginally better. So it's definitely something to consider.
Maybe you can get him to the practice squad one more time, right? And then if you have an issue in the slot or in the return game, I know Trent Irwin's in that mix too. Yep. And I thought early in camp and early in the preseason games and that stuff, you saw some positive stuff from Trent Irwin. There's obviously some familiarity for him with the new regime. But does he give you anything in special teams? That's, you know, that's where you kind of run into some issues. I think with Joshua Cephas kind of was the same thing big picture wise for him as well. So the Fred Johnson trade, I wanted to get your thoughts on that too. A little bit of a surprise in that it felt like anyway, last time we got together, he was really pushing guys like Walker Little and Anton Harrison. I guess you could take it as good news that maybe they feel strongly enough about Walker Little and on Anton Harrison going into the season that, hey, message received, they weathered the competition. They're the guys that they're going to go with. I think that's still an area where we'll see as much as anything else is the approach I'm going to take with that. But you get a seventh round pick in return. He goes back to a place he's very familiar with in Philadelphia. And Cole Van Lannen's kind of a forgotten guy because we hadn't seen him of late. But he's a guy that certainly is a third tackle can help. And they've got versatility with some other guys that that we've seen them kick out the tackle already.
Yeah, for sure. I think that trade says the most about Cole Van Lannen and his recovery. I think it says that, you know, yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to be ready to go by week one, which was up in the air for, you know, quite some time. You know, I definitely thought that, you know, Fred Johnson was showing that, you know, he deserved a place on this roster. But sometimes even, you know, a seventh round pick, like, you can get value for something like that, you know, you take it. We know what this front office, at least historically speaking, has done for other teams and that this is the kind of approach that they have. I think it says a lot about Cole Van Lannen. I think it also says, a lot about Walker Little, who, you know, it's been a good offseason for Walker Little, but that, you know, that hasn't really ever been the issue in the past is offseason with Walker Little. It's let's see it in, you know, actual live rounds. So still kind of up in the air on that one.
Yeah, Chuma Adoga already looks like a really good
signing,
free agency signing because of that legitimate versatility. You know, there's times where you say, well, this guy can play tackle and guard,
right,
but do you really want him in a situation to have to play tackle or, you know, kick inside the center when you're talking about guards? Patrick McCarry is that kind of guy too, between really center and tackle to go along with his primary position of guard. I guess with Fred Johnson, just a mammoth individual and a right tackle to me more than a left tackle, because if you watched him even in preseason action, he still can have his problems with legit bend and twitch and speed. So I don't think you want him isolated too often. Now, look, for the Jags and this renewed approach under Liam, it's we're going to be physical, run the football. He can do that. Now, if you want to line up in some maybe condensed formations and get after teams on first down with the run game, he can do that. But I think it does speak to the versatility, too, that they have with multiple guys. And it looks good for your guy, Jonah Monheim now.
Yeah.
To kind of make this team as one of those nine offensive linemen. He can play guard, he can play center. Again, I don't, we talk about pluses and minuses for this 53, this initial 53. I'm not ready to say the offensive line is a plus for the Jags. I will say it's been addressed. I do like the versatility within it. I like the contingency options over the course of a long season built in if you need them. But in terms of just high level of play, still kind of Switzerland on that one.
Yeah, there's been some sloppy play, like in the preseason games, the penalties and different things like that. It's definitely not for certain, but I definitely feel better about the group than I did at the beginning of the offseason, which, I mean, we better have felt better about the group, but, you know, going into the preseason. You know, with the Doga, it's really interesting too, because I don't know if you saw this, but Michael DiRocco thinks that Adoga might start over Patrick McCary, which I would be shocked if you pay a guy like $13 million a year to, you know, $12.5 million a year to not start him. But, I mean, Adoga's looked that good. He's been very solid.
Yeah, he has, and he's not exactly on a vet minimum. But your point being, Patrick McCary is getting starter money.
Yeah, right? he was supposed to be kind of one of your centerpiece and signings, yeah.
And a tone setter, ass kicker, so to speak. You know, a guy that day in and day out is going to speak to where this offense is headed under Liam Cohen. So I agree. I still would be surprised. But Adoga, and the value with him too is that I know Cole Van Lannen, it looks like right now he would be that third tackle, but I'm still wondering – if it happened in week one where you lost one of those two tackles, would it really be Cole Van Lannen as a third tackle? Maybe. He could do it. We've seen him do it. This isn't to say he can't, but it might be that if your best five after your five that would include Adoga if he indeed starts at guard, still has him in the lineup at tackle, you know, you could possibly do that as well. What about wide receiver? You know, we talked about that. So, you know, I'm thinking that it's those guys that we sort of outlined, but probably another area that if you wanted to say, hey, the Jags are really checking out the waiver wire and guys that have been released in this 24 run-up, because we are almost exactly 24 hours from the deadline on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Running back's an interesting situation too, although based on how they drafted and how they retained Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby, impossible to see them going into the season without four running backs. They're going to have these four, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, you know, what you would do otherwise. I mean, you feel really good about Tootin. You know, he's offering a lot of positivity in terms of just what he can do, you know, with the speed. You know, it's something that the Jags don't really have in Etienne and Bigsby. I mean, they're fast enough, but you know that guy has a different gear. And then with LaQuint Allen, you know that he's probably their best, you know, pass blocker right now at running back. So you need that capability too. So I feel like both those guys definitely have to be on this roster.
Bashaul Tootin may be the big picture guy in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
In terms of every down guy.
Yeah.
But Etienne and Bigsby have done nothing to sort of pave their way to something of a diminished role. And look, you're paying ETN on that fifth year option. So that was sort of a given, unless you just found someone that went brain dead and just offered you way too much for him in exchange. And who knows, like in the lead up to the opener, right? You never know what can happen at a particular situation. This isn't the time of year either, though, where teams are looking to trade for running backs, because your running backs ought to be in good shape right now.
Yeah.
It's when you get 10, 12 games into the season and the war of attrition takes on and you start losing guys at a position like that you might have more value for some of these guys. But everybody pretty much around the league at running back, with the exception of a few, is in good shape at that position. And you know, I think ETN and Bigsby can be our excellent 1-2 punch right there at the top. Still want to see if they can do it on a consistent basis. I'll tell you, man, JaQuindon Jackson, that's my guy. And I thought he looked good against Miami in the preseason finale. Big back, gonna get cut. I don't think the Jags can get him back. I don't know. Maybe they can, because, like I said just a second ago, teams aren't really looking to put backs on their 53 man right now. Maybe they can get him back to the practice squad, Jaquindon Jackson. But give this staff credit in terms of evaluation, not just with the draft picks, but with Jackson as well.
Yeah, no, I would definitely love for him to be on the practice squad. But, yeah, you just never know. And like you said, though, if there's anything working in the Jags' favor, it's just, you know, the running back position in general is just so undervalued now that yeah, they have a better shot with him than maybe, you know, at other spots like DL or corner or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Tight end, I think that one's going to lay out pretty much like we expected, right? The two offseason additions to go along with Brenton Strange. So,
yeah,
I think potential to be a plus, but again, one of those I want to wait and see more, maybe more so from a depth perspective. I think Brenton Strange is a plus on his own.
For sure.
Is a plus. I you know, you get to that second and third tight end position. That's where you want to see a little bit more. We talked about the offensive line. Defensive line's interesting because looks like 10 guys very much in play, perhaps.
Oh yeah.
To make this roster. And we talked about fourth round picks that from a year ago that this cut down probably isn't going to be kind to. Javon Foster, the Missouri pick from a year ago, being one of those at the offensive line position. And then Jordan Jefferson, the fellow fourth round pick with Javon a year ago, with Kalen Saunders coming over from the Saints in the trade from a week or so ago. That's a couple fourth rounders look like they're going to go by the wayside. But Josh Hines-Allen, Smoot, Walker, Smith, good to see Mason Smith back and doing his thing. Armstead, Ogba.
Ogba is definitely on the roster at this point.
Austin Johnson on the roster?
I don't know, man. I don't know if him or Tyler Lacy are on the roster.
That's what's wild, is because Tyler Lacy was running ones, which tells you what the preseason really means. I mean, that was with Mason Smith out and Eric Armstead out, right?
Yeah.
So Kalen Saunders could be the type of addition that takes a couple of guys out. Lacy and Jordan Jefferson because of that move.
Strigow, I think, probably actually gets on the roster. Yeah. I think at this point you just need that extra edge guy. But yeah, like Austin Johnson, Tyler Lacy, Miles Cole, Jordan Jefferson, I think those dudes are all probably not getting there.
And collectively a chance to be a real plus. The defensive line should be a plus.
They've invested so much.
Walker and Hines-Allen as your edges. You got Armstead inside to go along with a second round pick from a year ago and Mason Smith. Devon Hamilton, it looks like he's had a great lead up to the 2025 season. Now, like every other team, you start going two or three deep beyond that group, you can certainly run into problems. But in a 53-man world, roster world, if those are your top of the rotation guys that we just outlined, you should feel pretty good about that group.
No, at both one and two, I feel really good about this defensive line. I mean, and you better. I mean, really, you know, like I said, they've invested so much money, resources into this group that, yeah, it has to be good. But I'm definitely not mad about having, like, DeJuan Smoot, Kalen Saunders, Mason Smith, and Ogba as your, like, backup, your, like, immediate backup. That's a good group. That's a good group. Yeah. Now, hopefully we won't be seeing them rotated in quite as much as we saw, last season, at least, or that approach with this group. But, I mean, that is a very solid set of backups.
Linebacker interesting too, right?
For sure.
You know, you know Devin Lloyd, Foye, Ventrell Miller, Dennis Gardeck, who they coveted in coming in during the offseason. It gets interesting, though, I think, for Muma and Yasir Abdullah. Do one or both of those guys make this final roster? Jack Kaiser is going to make the team as a draft pick. I think we know that. So numbers-wise, Ev, and then who exactly makes up that total? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they're probably going to rock six linebackers. That being said, I feel it's kind of at, for that sixth spot, it's like Abdullah versus Muma. And I don't really see why you would keep Muma at this stage. Like, I feel like that's Abdullah's spot at this point. But who knows? I mean, we kind of had the same conversation last offseason of, are they going to keep Muma? Is it worth keeping him at this point? And they still stuck with him. So even despite, turnover on, having a whole new coaching staff in front of office, I mean, the dude just seems to stick. So I can't be surprised if they do keep him. But right now, I feel like I just don't know why you would.
I'm going to make the case for Muma over Abdullah, at least.
Okay.
Knowing they're going to keep Gardeck. I mean, he made the team the day they, made that happen. I think Muma can play some strong side linebacker for you if you need to, if you needed him to. That's what gets lost in this with numbers and understanding they are a 4-3 base defense. Now, how much base defense will they really play? Not a lot. They're going to play a lot of 4-2, a lot of nickel, which takes your strong side linebacker off the field. And it's not like the strong side linebackers like Yasir. Gardeck can get after the quarterback a little bit. Yasir. I really haven't seen it from. So, and I'm not saying Muma could, but Muma could play, get you by maybe at another position like that. He could play all three, I think. I think Muma can, he certainly has green dotted some in the preseason. Right. So you'd have that value with him. If you kept Muma, he can special team, and he could give you enough at that third linebacker position if you had to do it to get through a game, maybe. But you got to have a couple of guys that can play that spot. I mean, otherwise, if you cut Yasir Abdullah and Muma and you go with just Dennis Gardeck, that's kind of all you got.
Yeah, that's, you feel very one thin
position.
There.
You're thin. Miles Cole, regardless of how you look at him, looks like he's going another 2024 pick that's going out the door. So I'm fascinated. I think linebacker will be more of a strength in this system than it was the previous system. How could it not be?
Yeah.
But yeah, not exactly dynamic at a couple of these spots, right? Not physically dominant.
Is Branson Combs part of this conversation? Is he? No, you don't think so?
I've been impressed by him, but you also have to take Jalen McLeod into consideration with this too. So, what do you do with him from this perspective? Do you IR him initially? Perhaps you do, which could help one of these guys like a Yasir or maybe even a Muma. I'm okay with this group. Relative to the rest of the league, I don't think it's a strength really, but it can be, I think, serviceable. I think it can be a serviceable group.
It's really bizarre because, like, we know how talented Devin Lloyd is and we know how good Aloakun is. And to watch them kind of, flounder last year. I mean, it feels like it should be a strength.
They were so poorly coordinated last year, though, with Ryan Nielsen. I mean, like we talked about it. How the hell do you play Foye at weak side and play Devin on the ball?
Right.
That was screwed from the start.
This should feel night and day. This coaching staff this should feel so
guys, if those two guys are going to have success, they're in the spots at least to have success. Last year, they weren't even in the right spots to be able to have success. So, I don't think it's a negative. I don't think these linebackers are negative. I think they're pretty meh. They're okay. Corner, Tyson Campbell, Jarian Jones, Buster Brown, Braswell, Jordan Lewis, and then Travis Hunter, you're going to take into this. So whereas you might outline five corners, when you throw Travis in there, you're really talking about six. Now, Buster's been out for the preseason. We've seen a good bit of Christian Braswell. Jordan Lewis in a base look can start at corner opposite Campbell if that's what you want to do. And then you can come with Jarian Jones and go to that nickel and slide Lewis inside. We'll see what happens when Buster comes back. But 5+1, Ev, if you talk about those type of names to go along with Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the group. I just don't see why you would take you would bring more than that. Hunter is so valuable for that exact reason. When you're just able to basically save a roster spot for somewhere else, you don't feel like you need to load up there. I think that, it's a little sad for, Aiden White's been solid. It's been fine. Jabbar Muhammad has had some good tape, but yeah, I don't see them on this roster.
Yeah. Safety gets interesting too. By the way, corner, it, to me, the difference between negative, being a negative and being a plus for this team comes down to Tyson Campbell's health. Yep. Can he stay on the field? And Jarian Jones's growth. Yeah. If those two things happen, then this can be a plus group. If the continuation of Campbell's health struggles continue and Jones doesn't take a pretty big step, then it could be problematic. Although, again, I just think the way they're going to be coordinated is going to allow them to have a good bit more success, if nothing else, than a year ago. Safety. We talked about this a little bit before the show in terms of, numbers and how it may work out. Five, could there be six safeties? I guess Caleb Ransall is kind of the X factor here. He's an IR possibility to maybe start the season. But you talk about Murray, you talk about Savage, you talk about Wingard, you talk about Antonio Johnson. I think those are probably the certainties, I would say, at this point. And then Rayon Lane. How that could work, beyond the first three or four.
Yeah, I think they really like Lane. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually have him as a sixth safety.
Ahead of Daniel Thomas, maybe.
Yeah, I think Daniel Thomas is the odd man out here.
Wow.
Well, I will say though, I mean, it is funny because we have criticized Antonio Johnson a lot. It's a name that, like, honestly, in other situations, I would, hope that he wouldn't be on this roster, but you take what you can get at this point. I think, for sure. Murray,
I think Johnson has created value for himself in special teams. I don't know if he just came to this on his own, Evan, or if someone continued to whisper in his ears, "Hey guy, You need to become more of a deal on special teams because there's no guarantees for you at this point in your career."
Yeah, no. I think they rock six safeties. And I think Ransall and Lane are their third string guys.
And they've got some options again with Ransall, depending on his health as one of those six. So it could be five, and then you designate Ransall for IR and eligible to return at a later date. So safety, though, I think you're going into the season, it's a negative. I don't think even with the move you made there, the draft work you did there, I still don't see safety going into the season anyway. I don't see it as a positive.
Yeah, I mean, if Eric Murray just turns out to be a slam dunk signing, then, we can kind of come back to this and decide it as a positive. But even if he is a slam dunk, the idea that, Dewey is kind of something a guy you're really relying on, like, to play a lot of snaps, potentially starting.
Right.
I love Dewey. We all do. But, that's –
Why isn't it happened until now? Now, I know you can talk about Cisco and – what they poured into him prior to this year. But, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's same boat.
I think it's, probably the weakest position group on the roster.
Wow.
Where else would you say? Maybe offensive line?
Offensive line for me. I mean, safety was atrocious last year. Don't get me wrong. It was horrible. I like to think the offensive line is going to be improved. That's my myopic vantage point of that situation. But I think we've got just as much to see from that offensive line or need to see from that offensive line as we do maybe. I get it at safety. I mean, it's a slam dunk for me going into the season anyway, not a positive for this football team. What about quarterback, Evan? Trevor Lawrence and Nick Mullins. That's going to be your two. Maybe you get Seth Hennigan back to the practice squad, or maybe even John Wolford.
I feel like, or go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think Hennigan definitely gets picked up elsewhere.
Really?
I think he's at least looked, you know, especially last week, I thought very, very clean overall. I think Wolford is the guy who just won't get picked up. And so you'll just rock him on the practice squad. It's as simple as that. It's not about like, you know, who's better or whatever. It's just about, I think Hennigan will get more eyes on him.
And they brought Wolford here.
Yeah.
I mean, they,
he know him. They like him.
Yes. He goes back to the whole deal with Liam and, you know, the regime and all that. So they want him in that quarterback room on a day-to-day basis.
I do think it's funny that we basically skipped quarterback because we were,
just saved it for last. We just circled back. Just trying to keep people watching, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's Trevor and Nick, you know,
thanks for hanging around. Now to quarterback.
Yeah. You gotta have a tease, you know, you gotta have a hook. I mean, obviously Trevor, Nick, I guess it will be, I do think, you know, there's a chance that it's Hennigan, but it'll be one of those two. I don't think the Jags are going to go for like a practice squad QB that's on another roster. Unless Gladstone, just somebody gets available that he's like, I need him. But
one of the Browns' seven quarterbacks.
They have that's going to be a fun thing.
They're going to keep six offensive linemen and six quarterbacks.
That's actually going to be fun to see who gets cut there.
That's a train wreck. Situation in terms of the day to day and week to week freaking noise. Now that you've put on your head coach to deal with. Oh, nice job, Brownies. No, quarterback for me. In last year's offense, I would go negative. It would be a negative for this season.
Yeah.
In an offense that I pretty much screamed for from about the middle of last season until this point, I'm going to go slight positive. I think it's sustainable for Trevor Lawrence in an offense where it's going to be predicated more on the run game and not from the opening snap, kind of putting him in a position where he's got to make it happen. And they really weren't built for that at all. I really don't think he's built for that, to be honest with you. I've said that for a while now. But in this offense, you know, if this offensive line, there's still some contingencies to this, Evan. If this offensive line in the run game and these backs can get it done, Trevor should be a positive. I mean, he's a $50 million quarterback. If you're in an offense that he's buoyed by a run game and you've put more playmakers around him in the offseason, De'Ami Brown and Travis Hunter, it damn well better be a positive.
Yeah, I mean, really, at this point, if it doesn't work this year, there's no one to blame. Unless there's like a crazy injury crisis or something like that, really bad luck. I mean, you can't excuse it anymore. You just can't. This is supposed to be, you know, let's say 90% built, you know, offense at this point. Like you could say there's one or two spots that they could still upgrade, you know, and like a clear, obvious upgrade. I mean, not like a marginal one.
Right.
If you can't get it done now, then I don't think you ever are going to get it done in Jacksonville.
They've Tannehilled him. I asked for them to Tannehill him.
And they're doing it.
And they have pretty much Ryan Tannehilled Trevor Lawrence. So in the words of Trent Baalke.
You're the ghostwriter.
The words of Trent Baalke, Evan, it's built.
It's built. You're the ghostwriter for Gladstone, I guess. You know, the
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this in relation to Travis Hunter. Is his health the difference in two positions perhaps being a plus or a minus? Or is it more just about wide receiver? Or do you think if he can't stay healthy, that could be a big problem for corner too?
I think it definitely is. Shoot. I'll say that wide receiver, 100%. It's a plus. If he's healthy, it's a plus. If he's not able to get on the field. It's a negative with corner because they aren't placing a lot of chips on him because they're not putting all the eggs in that basket. It would definitely be, you know, disappointing to not have him out there, but I feel like they have a plan, you know, that doesn't necessarily depend on Travis Hunter at corner.
Right. Yeah, I do too. I feel that I kind of agree with that. And I think even at wide receiver, man, if Deami Brown is what it feels like he was in this preseason into the regular season to go on. Now you want Brian Thomas Jr. to be better in the regular season than he was in the preseason. And you expect that obviously to be the case. You've got a full season of work to sort of support that assumption anyway. And then Parker Washington too. I mean, with the improvement this guy has made, maybe if you don't have Travis Hunter week in and week out because of Parker Washington elevating his game to go along with the addition of Deami Brown, you can sustain better, it feels like. I know the national perspective and narrative is, boy, and I felt this way too back around the draft. Well, you made this move, but if this guy can't stay on the field, this could be catastrophic. But I feel better actually about wide receiver and corner because of other people in the time that has passed than I did around, you know, late April in terms of the importance of Hunter being able to say it's still big. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel a little comforted by what we've seen from Parker Washington, maybe Jarian Jones, and, you know, what you can do with some different guys.
I mean, yeah, I think it's a very real case that Parker Washington is the MVP of this offseason and preseason.
Yeah.
Just overall performance, like both in practice, in games, just everything about him looks really good right now.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I mean, we were seeing the flashes of it last year. We knew that, you know, Parker Washington definitely has a lot of talent, but taking the step forward like he has, or at least seemingly has, is kind of created a whole new dynamic in that wide receiver group.
No doubt. No doubt. And of course, special teams or specialists.
The strongest position.
The biggest plus on the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the specialists. What about Cam Little, dude? I mean just he's drilling a 59 yarder. It's like, no, everything's a layup to that cat. You know?
He's becoming, you know, a star, which is super
weird. He is
weird.
The Steph Curry of kickers.
Yeah.
He is the Caitlin Clark of kickers. I said what I said.
You know, if you had said, you know, which Jaguar player was going to, you know, basically go viral and take the headlines for like a week, you know, you said Travis Hunter, you'd say whatever. No, Cam Little, baby. He's right there.
Protect him. Got to protect him.
Honestly, go ahead and lock him up. Go ahead and give him like a 5-year deal.
That's what I said a couple weeks ago after the 70-yarder. Just bring back Scobie and Hollis for the preseason and let them handle, like, you know, make it fun, like alumni kickers.
Yeah.
You know, in the actual games. That would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, what is Josh Lambeau up to? Is he chilling?
Come on.
Yeah, right. What's he up to?
We got a couple of games, but no, it's seriously, that dude is just another level. And
yeah, it's awesome.
You just don't want him to wake up because it's like he's asleep and just drilling kicks. And so Logan Cook, you know, you're going to get a high level performance out of. The return game is going to be big this year, man, with the tweak to the rule. And
yeah,
they're basically saying you've got to return. You've got to kick returnable kicks and you got to return kicks.
Yeah.
And so there's opportunity there too for the Tank Bigsby's and the Parker Washingtons maybe, and, you know, those kind of guys.
No, we've already seen in the preseason games that like returns are becoming explosive returns are becoming much more common. They're definitely something that can happen, you know, on a consistent basis, which I think in the game of football has never really been that way. Like not to this level anyways. Like, you know, there's always been really good kick returners and different things like that, but being able to just like kind of run even, you know, not especially amazing returners out there and get to the 35 like with some frequency is nuts.
And I think that's going to show up conversely in your coverage unit decisions you have to make in these final cuts. I think for a year or two there, because of the change, it was basically, there's not as much of an emphasis on maybe the traditional coverage candidates in covering kickoffs, especially. Now you better have some legit coverage guys or you're going to give up some of those big ones going the other way.
I'd be interesting to see, you know, if we, you know, over the course of this season, if we see teams like, you know, guys that are starters, like out there, like, just because, like, you need your best athletes, like you need like actually good talented dudes that can pursue, it might actually become an option. Probably not, but for the most part, just because, again, it's just too risky. But like, if you're getting, you know, returned on every, you know, time you kick the ball, if they're getting to the 40, 45 every single time, it's like, you got to figure that out. It'll be nice that the Jags can just return it to the 40 every time. And then Cam Little can just go ahead.
Yeah, it's 3 points. And he keeps us in firehouse subs.
I mean, exactly.
The guy just keeps.
I think that's the strategy at this point. You know, if this offense doesn't get its wheels turning, then you know, just put all your chips on special teams, all of them.
Yeah, just hook and ladder me every week. Yeah. You know,
let's
just
go.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm gonna have to get a firehouse sub after this. Now
I know. Now I'm. I got one about a block away, right up there on Southside. It's been a lot of fun. Playing the projection game. Maybe next week what we'll do is we'll revisit our expectations for the Jags in the regular season, if those have changed any, and, you know, talk about, you know, the win totals and the schedule, revisit that schedule and maybe what we're thinking now with the preseason in the books.
How's that sounds good to me.
All right, F. Hey, as always, a lot of fun, my man, and thanks to everyone for joining in here on the program. If you haven't already, subscribe to Ryer on YouTube, hit that notifications bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel, and a thumbs up, a like would help us out tremendously as well. For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Until next time. So long, everybody.